Back in the first half of the 20th century, Britain produced a number of great amateur designers with names straight out of boys' own paper. They included Linton Hope, Albert Strange, Warrington Smythe, and Harrison Butler, with Butler the most prolific. Butler was an eye surgeon who loved small cruising yachts. His designs are now sought-after classics, whose sea-kindly good manners and well-balanced looks are a byword. His drafting techniques were of the highest standard, right down to selecting his paper for stability so that no distortion was possible. The plans feature wood grain on the frames, panelling details, and in one case, even a dressed chicken in the pantry locker. They're near enough fine art to hang on your sitting room wall, and he didn't charge. If he liked you, he'd draw a yacht in return for a contribution to a charity of his choice, which included, it is said, the Church Organ Fund. None of Harrison Butler's original boats featured a heads compartment. The excellent doctor, a man who should know, observed that a healthy adult should spend no more than 5 minutes a day on the tasks normally undertaken behind locked doors, and concluded that his customers could make better use of the space. This allowed him to create lovely saloons, offset by the requirement for some creative activities involving buckets and honest British initiative. Which brings me to my main point. Not so long ago, heads or properly tailored buckets were often sighted immediately beneath the forehatches of smaller craft. The olfactory benefits are too obvious to spell out, but there was a downside. An inspired cartoon from Mike Payton depicted a nattily dressed yachtsman crossing a neighbour's foredeck in a raft-up and inadvertently peering down the gaping hatch. He was raising his cap, and the caption read, "I beg your pardon, madam." As usual, Payton was bang on the money. Like me, you've probably noticed that yachts seem to be proliferating faster than harbours are expanding. Even in Scotland and Ireland, where sailors have long cast pitying eyes on those of us who must keep our yachts on the crowded Solent, all available berths have been known to be chock-a-block in some particular ports. The result is more rafting. Given a civilised approach and some common courtesy, rafting can be good fun. I've met people in rafts who become lifelong friends, so I'm certainly not knocking the practice. Turning up on a town quay where space is bound to be limited on a summer evening, we all accept it as part of the deal, but it's never convenient, is it? Things should be very different in a marina. If we're lucky enough to score a finger berth, we have it to ourselves. We pay a lot of money and we get decent service. We come and go when we want, no drunks ping our shrouds at 0100, and so on. If we end up on the Hammerhead, however, many mariners now pile a raft outside us if they run out of berths. Then we're back to the revellers, kicking our booming out poles on the way home from a midnight bout with the facilities. We don't mind this if we're stumping up a sensible amount to the town council for a scramble on a tidal quay, but when we're being soaked for a top dollar by a profit-making corporation as if we had a berth to ourselves, well, it sticks in the throat, doesn't it? How about this, in response to our radio call for a berth? "I'm sorry, sir. All our berths are taken. However, we can put you alongside another boat on the Hammerhead. The gentleman already there has agreed to a rafting discount of 30% if you'll do the same." Dream on, shipmates. Dream on.